Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping, rapping at my chamber door.
I'm not even going to swat that fly. I hope they are watching. They'll see. They'll see and they'll know and they'll say, why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
Wait right there, Mr. Bonneau.
How do you know my name? I didn't tell you my name.
Hang up.
I didn't tell them my name.
They're all a part of it. They're all part, all of them.
Do you ever wonder about all the different ways of dying? You know, violently. I wonder, like, what would be the most horrible way to die?
It's not my intention to do this in front of you. For that, I'm sorry. But you can take my word for it. Your mother had it coming.
Mommy, I want to see the bad man fly.
We better get back, because it'll be dark soon, and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
I just can't take no pleasure in killing them.
Just some things you gotta do. Don't mean you have to like it.
Wait a minute. I know who you are. Yeah, but I heard you were dead.
And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming. And the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor. And my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the US of A, and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how are you, sir?
No, I'm still here.
Very good, same here. And in the state of New York?
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, Phil. How are you?
Doing all right. Or best I can. Today's date is March 19th, 2020, or the first day of spring. We are recording Dark Discussions podcast. For those who are new to the podcast, we basically review and critique genre films. So horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mysteries, grindhouse, art house, midnight movies, cult films, and so forth. We also try to talk intelligently about a genre that deserves intelligence. We do have a website. Isn't that right, Eric?
We do. It is located at www.darkdiscussions.com. You can find many things on this website. On the front page, on the right-hand side, you'll find links to Friends of the Podcast, so you can check those out. Up at the top of the page, you'll find some links to other pages on the site, one of which is an articles page, where you'll find articles written by myself as well as others. You'll also find an audio section where you'll find every single episode of Dark Discussions ever recorded, as well as any of our spin-off podcasts available to download for free. There's bound to be something there that interests you, so check it out. On the front page, right in the center, there's a link to our Patreon account. Patreon is a service that lets you support your online artists. Producing this podcast is not free. We have to pay for things like server rentals and new equipment and going to see the movies. And, all that costs money. So if you'd like to help us offset the cost of producing the show, you can go to that link on the front page or go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions. For every $5 a month that you care to donate, you'll have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly do an episode on. We take all the submissions from our patrons, and on a quarterly basis, we draw one at random to do an episode about. So, if you'd like to support us financially, you can go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link on the front page of darkdiscussions.com.
Excellent. And for folks who want to, you can email us at darkdiscussions@aol.com, where we will read your email on the podcast. So if you have information that you think is pertinent to genre fans, or you have a review you want to talk about, or you want to discuss things such as video games or anything else, you can send those over to us. It doesn't have to be specific to a recent topic. So, for example, if you just suddenly saw some Italian giallo and you said, oh, this is a great film, I got to give my one paragraph review and email it over to the folks, please do, and we will read it on the episode. So that's darkdiscussions@AOL.com. And we have a Facebook group called Dark Discussions Podcast Facebook group, where you can join us for the discussion of various genre topics or start your own topic online.
Eric, I have to correct you on one thing, though. As you were going through the list of things that cost us money, one of those things currently is not going to the movies.
All right.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah, and I don't know who just took the picture.
Bring this down, Mike.
Yeah, no problem. I don't know who just took the picture, but, you know, there's a 2 in 3 chance of getting somebody with no pants on.
I was taking a picture of the TV screen for Don't Speak, a horror film that we were discussing offline a little while ago.
That Phil is trying to do a hard sell to get us to do.
Yes, which always works quite well for him.
Well, I don't.
Mike and I don't resist that at all.
No. Either way, no worries. So I'll forward you guys that picture later. We have some house cleaning stuff, but we'll do that all at the end of the episode, including some big news about our new podcast, or I should say our returning podcast. And we actually got some email on that, but we'll read that probably on the next
on that time. Podcast.
Exactly. I think we're going to get another email too from someone else. So either way, I guess we can talk about our topic tonight. So Eric, why don't you let everybody know what we're going to discuss tonight?
All right. Tonight we're going to be talking about a movie that was actually released last year on Netflix. It made number 5 on my list for 2019. It stars Allison Williams and Steven Weber. It's called The Perfection.
What is happening to me?
I'm burning up.
It's gonna be okay.
No, it's not. Oh, God, it's not. Listen to me. Something is wrong. Something is wrong with me.
Lizzie, I know. That's why we need to get you help.
I'm dying. What's happening?
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Mom, what the fuck? Look who you are. Mom. Help me. Help me, Cyrus. Help me.
You know what you have to do.
You know what happens now.
That's right. The Perfection, 2019 film, Netflix, quote unquote, original. But it is a Netflix film. Allison Williams and Steven Weber, as you mentioned. Also, the third star of the film is Logan Browning, who's probably best known for the TV show Dear White People, which I think is also a Netflix show. And that's pretty much it there. The film was written by Richard Shepard, Eric Ciarmello, and Nicole Snyder. Don't know much about any of those folks. Didn't bother doing research on them. And then Richard Shepard is I don't know what you would call him. I guess he's a TV director mostly. Has done, episodes of various television shows such as Salem and Girls and things of that nature. Ugly Betty's another one. So this is him stepping away from television and doing a motion picture. For folks who are curious, Allison Williams, people probably know her best from either Girls or from HBO, or what's
Get Out.
Get Out, thank you. That film there. Richard Weber, he's pretty well known.
You mean Steven Weber?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. Steven Weber, he's pretty well known character actor. Obviously, he's been in television shows like Wings and such. But he's been around since then doing a
remake of The Shining.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
All right, so I guess we can get around and discuss how we heard about this film and what we thought about it. So I'll start. I actually heard about it because a lot of people, when it first appeared on Netflix, as Netflix does, they promote and push their films. At the time, I wasn't really looking at anything new because I was rewatching The Office for the 12th time, so I didn't even notice it.
Which, to be fair, he only discovered The Office about a year ago. True.
Eric suggested to rewatch it during these trying times and to get my mind off of things. So that's
because I found out you'd been watching Contagion on a loop, and that's not good for your mental health, sir.
No.
So go back to The Office.
So this was a much better choice.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Much better, for sure. Back to this film here, The Perfection. The reason I did hear about it, though, was because a lot of people were talking about it on Facebook at the time when it was released, and saying it was a pretty good, solid film, and some podcasts were actually even doing episodes on the film. I did a little research, but didn't really go any further, but I did know that it was getting at least quality reviews. Eric, like you said, had it on his best list, like a number of folks have done from 2019, and you suggested maybe that we could do it as an episode. And so we finally said, yeah, we'll do it. And so I watched it on a Sunday morning.
How many people were in the theater?
It was actually just me. We were actually heading down to Legoland. It was basically the first 2 days when I began to panic about the coronavirus. So it was even before the fiasco we have now. So it was like 3.5 weeks ago. And I was staying later because I had to meet my family later because I had to drop off the dog for the dog hotel, and it didn't open until a certain time. So I headed down after the movie, but instead, while I waited until the place opened, I watched a film with my dog, and I wasn't sure what I felt about the film. At first I felt it was somewhat distasteful and kind of gross, similar to Incident in the Ghostland as well. But just like Incident in the Ghostland, I said that I was going to sleep on it and really think whether or not it was a good film or not. And so I slept on it, and yeah, it's a really good film. It's definitely not going to be for everybody because of the type of content and horror in it. If you like horror films, this is a pretty solid one, and it is well done. Even if it's not your genre. I like it a lot. And if I had seen it in 2019, I probably could have put it on my top 20 list. But I didn't. So obviously I couldn't rate it. It was a really good film and interesting concept. Let's go with you, Mike.
Yeah, I had heard about it somewhere. I know Eric had mentioned on the podcast. I don't know if he's the first. I've kind of wanted to see it. I wasn't racing to see it. So I finally watched it last night, and I thought it was okay. My first thought was, who is the old guy? And then my second thought was, is that Steven Weber? And then my third thought was, oh my God, that is Steven Weber. And then my next thought was, oh my God, when did Steven Weber get old? And then my last thought was, holy fuck, I'm old too. So that was kind of my progress with thoughts there. Then my thought after that was, oh boy, a story about a plague. Phil's going to love this. Oh, and then there's poop. Oh, Phil's really going to love this one. That was kind of my thoughts. I did feel it was, you said the director had directed a lot of TV stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause right. It kind of felt like very TV production, in the look and the feel of it. I think I was way ahead of the film in a lot of it, at least at the first half. I was thrown a little bit at the end, although I'm not entirely sure I buy what happened. Basically, the thing I like the most is the final image they kind of leave you with.
That was pretty awesome.
I doubt this probably would have made my top 20 for last year, because I think last year was a really deep year. But certainly that final image would have made my year-end award list. It's probably something really creepy. But it's decent. It's not a horrible film by any means. I'm just saying I don't like it as much as Eric did. I know that. Probably not as much as Phil did, and I have no idea how much Chrissy liked it. But she'll let us know when she gets here.
Right, yeah. And that's fair, Mike. That's fair. Because I have to say that a lot of lists didn't have it on its top 20, and then a lot of lists did. So it was definitely one of those polar type films.
Well, in fairness, this is a film about motivated people, so I may not have been able to connect with the characters.
Indeed. Let's go with you, Eric.
Well, I heard the same buzz that Phil did, and decided to check it out right when it was first released. I really enjoyed this movie for a few different reasons. One is because first they make you think it's this one thing, and then it turns out to be another thing, and then it turns out to be this other thing. And I was like, oh, that's cool. they just kind of give you whiplash in a couple different directions. And I like it when it gets done to me. The other part is that just the whole classical music thing. My parents are classical musicians. I grew up in that world. So the whole competitive musician thing going on in this movie really kind of hit home for me. It's a thing that exists. They didn't make it up for this movie. As a matter of fact, if you want to hear something kind of messed up, my mother and my stepmother were competitors with each other in music school. So that's kind of funny. So I enjoyed the whole classical music, intense competition between musicians and going to insane ends to be great. Because I haven't seen it in very many movies, especially not a horror movie. So I like that. So, yeah, this movie, I enjoyed it a lot, and I recommend.
All right, very well. I mean, it is a quote-unquote serious movie in the sense that, you know, it tries to portray itself as a drama and a thriller and all that. But it's interesting, too, because it is very, very grindhouse as well, because it has a lot of nudity, sex, blood, guts, body horror, and gore. So it's a very odd film as well, and I think that's another reason why it could be polarizing, similar to Bliss. Mike, you saw Bliss last year, where a lot of people loved it and a lot of people didn't like it, and I think it's a completely different film, but it's the same polarization effect, I think. But you know what? I used to think you wouldn't like these type of films, Eric, but then once you liked Ghostland, Incident in Ghostland, I was like, all right, yeah, these are Eric can dig these. Eric can dig these.
I don't know what you mean by these type of films.
Extreme, maybe? Because they are.
It depends on extreme, right? On in what manner they're extreme.
Fair enough.
So I don't like all of them. Like, I'm not a fan of the Hostel movies, for instance.
Sure. Yeah, that's the reason why. I mean, you're right. These are completely different than those films. But since you didn't like those films, I wouldn't expect you to like other extreme films. But again, it's a different subgenre, so makes
it
sense.
It also depends on the quality of the movie. Like Martyrs, I can't say I enjoyed watching Martyrs because I didn't. It totally messed with my head, and I thought it was some of the sickest shit I've ever seen. But can't deny it's a masterfully made movie.
And that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, and this film I don't even see as that extreme, really. I mean, they don't show a lot on screen.
You're right, but I guess the thing that shocked me was, I guess, we'll talk about it when we get, I don't want to spoil it, but there's certain stuff at the end that kind of was, mm-hmm. I felt was unappealing, and I'm sure you'll know what I'm talking about when we discuss it. But again, it makes sense for the plot, I guess. But that's fair, Mike. Yeah. I mean, the gore is more implied, I guess. Yeah, that's true. Even though there is some vivisection and stuff, but yeah, no worries. So Erica, do we have a wiki for this?
Wiki. Alrighty. When troubled musical prodigy Charlotte seeks out Elizabeth, the new star pupil of her former school, the encounter sends both musicians down a sinister path with shocking consequences.
Yeah, all right. That's a good wiki, right? Doesn't give away.
That's a pretty
much.
Good one. They didn't spoil anything.
Right, and that's another
or much
why,
of anything.
Oddly, that's another reason why I kind of skipped the film last year, because it didn't really explain anything. What is this? Is it about music? Is it about what is this film about? So I just said,
maybe you should have watched the trailer.
fuck you.
yeah. I mean, I actually watched the first 10 seconds of the trailer, and it just showed them in on the dirt road walking, and I go, what the hell? This has nothing to do with music. Someone said it was about music. I was like, I forget it. And so I just didn't bother watching it. But either way, what do we want to discuss? Anything we want to discuss prior to this opening up to spoilers and all that. I will state that I think my favorite actor actress in the film was actually Logan Browning, the woman that played the prodigy and that was famous. I liked her character, or not necessarily liked her character, but liked that actress a lot. I think she really played that role really good. And the whole time I was questioning whether she was going to be a villain or not. And I even texted Eric a number of times thinking that I thought maybe she was, but,
and you'll notice I didn't respond to any of your texts while you were watching this movie.
That's true. That's right.
I'm just going to let him write it out.
Yes. I think my best text was, I hope she sells her soul to Satan so she can kill them all. I think that's one of my favorite. Because I was so pissed. I say, kill them all. But yeah.
I think, and that's the thing, I think fundamentally, everybody in this film is an asshole.
Yeah,
to a certain extent.
Except maybe the little girl. And even then, I suspect she fucked. Even then, she's probably fucked somebody over to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, or her parents did, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's true. Yeah, I mean, we're talking about very privileged folk. Again, you know, they work hard to get where they are, but a lot of people who work hard to get where they are can still be privileged assholes. And
oh,
so,
you're not kidding. No, classical musicians live a extremely sheltered life. I can tell you, because my father is now in his 70s, and there are some things he just will never understand, like having an hourly wage job. He doesn't understand the concept.
And yet, so, and yet his
you're not wrong about that.
His parents were probably hourly wage, right?
Nope. They were also classical musicians.
Oh, all right. How about that? I did not know that. So a couple of generations there. I can see where Mike says that a lot of the people in the movie, and there really is only a handful, like four.
No, pretty much everybody who has a speaking line is an asshole, except for the little girl. I mean, I can't speak to the people in the background.
Right.
There's a one nice guy on the bus. Okay, I'll stand.
I was about to say there was also that one woman who gave her water when the bus.
There's that one too. Okay,
so there were two good people in this movie.
Right. Yeah, but all the leads were kind of annoying, privileged bastards.
Well, and they were people who worked for what they got, but
which is exactly what I said.
No coping mechanisms whatsoever.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah. I mean, we saw that today where Evangeline Lilly, I think that's her name, came out and said, "I'd rather live free than self quarantine." And
stupid twat.
Total idiot. And it's just, and she probably worked hard to get where she is, but that doesn't mean that she's not a privileged SOB. And yeah, and that's kind of how these characters are. I mean, these people probably worked their asses off to become the musicians they were or became, but they kind of lost their humbleness, I guess. Or what's the word you used, Mike? You said a good word, but
they're assholes.
Yeah. Well, that's good enough. Yeah, fair enough. All right. So, what else do we want to bring up? Obviously, the director Richard Shepard chose Allison Williams for this role because obviously he worked with her in many episodes of Girls because she starred in that. So that makes sense. What else? Obviously this film didn't make it to the theaters, even though it's the original production company was Miramax, but again, that's post Weinstein. But it doesn't really have any big names in it, I guess, right? So it probably wouldn't have got a big release unless it was like a Blumhouse film or something. My guess is that it was probably picked up at a festival similar to The Ritual.
No, again, I think it looks. This is me. I think it looks cheap.
Yeah, okay.
And even Blumhouse, not every film that they do makes it to theaters. They're best known for the ones that do.
Right.
A24 is another one. Most of their films don't make theaters either.
Right. I mean, like, they did The Bay. They did...
No, to be fair, as much as I enjoyed this movie, there were some... The shots where CGI was involved, it was a little sketchy.
Oh, it wasn't even the CGI. It was just some of the just the way it was framed, just the way it was lit. It felt like a TV production.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. That's fair.
I don't understand what you mean, but I'll take your word for it.
It's TV tends to be flatter.
What does historically that mean?
Not as much depth, not as much use of shadows. It's things tend to be overlit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the line is kind of blurred a lot over the years.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially these days, we're in the golden age of television.
Right, and
production values have skyrocketed.
Right, you look at like Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul are very, very cinematic in the way they're presented.
Mm-hmm. Westworld, Game World,
Game of Thrones. Right.
Yeah. Oh, Ozark. Yeah, yeah. A lot of those. Yeah. No, that's fair. Versus, say, older television shows where, yeah, you can see the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, and I kind of see what you're saying, Mike. I mean, I can't point out any specifics, but, you know, if you watch a TV movie on, you know, Fox FX or some of the ones that you find on the Hallmark Channel and stuff, you know, a lot of them are like teleplay type, and so the angles are and the productions are just different. I don't know how to explain it, but I kind of see what you're saying, Mike. Well, anyway, anything else that anybody wanted to bring up before we get into the spoiler area?
I'm good.
Mike?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm still waiting for Chrissy. I don't know where she is.
No worries.
She told us to go, so we're gone.
Yep. Chrissy was supposed to join us, but she had a meeting related to a group that she's in that is doing cancellations because of the coronavirus, and so she is one of the board's people or something like that, and it's gone over. But she told us to go ahead, so we're going to continue ahead, and she may join us. So, all right, we'll put up the spoiler alert, so it's thrown up. We can talk about everything and anything. Again, this film, as Eric said, has three twists in it, kind of, sort of, or three stories. You think the film's going to be a certain thing like three different times. So if you haven't seen it, obviously we're going to spoil it big time because those are the twists. But again, we're here not to just review a film and say it's good or bad. We're here to actually critique and talk about these twists and things of that nature. So that's why we're here. And also the film's a year old now. So folks can go visit it on Netflix and watch it there. And come back if they prefer, or they can just listen in like some of our listeners do, like Sean Fox and Kevin Letts, who listen to us whether or not they've seen the film. Let's throw it up, and the spoiler alert's up. So what do we want to talk about? Anyone?
Well, at the beginning of the movie, you see Charlotte come back into this world that she used to inhabit and start getting close to the new prodigy, Lizzie. And the two of them actually end up hooking up and having hot lesbian sex. And at that point I'm thinking, okay, so this is going to be like a revenge thing. She's going to take her place back, and she's going to stab this girl in the back somehow. I didn't know to which lengths she was going to go.
Well,
to accomplish that was the first surprise, is when stuff starts to get revealed. I was like, what?
Well, Eric, when I was watching the film and I was texting you, because you obviously had seen the film, I actually said I thought it was the opposite. I thought the present superstar was planning to be a user of this other woman who at one time was the prodigy who lost out because she had to go home and take care of her sick mother. Mm-hmm. And I just felt, for some reason at that point in the film, the opposite than you did, which was I felt the prodigy, who was not Charlotte, her name was Lizzie, was actually going to be the villain. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting how we both looked at the two lead women in different ways at that point.
So then the two of them go together. Lizzie's been assigned to go recruiting, and where did they say where they were going?
Yes, they went to, this was in Hong Kong. Was it Hong Kong? It was either.
No, where were they on the bus?
Actually, I think it may have been Shanghai they were at.
Okay.
Okay, and then they were taking
Asia somewhere.
Well, what were they going to do? Yeah, but we forgot the whole reason they're there in the first place, right? I mean, with the backstory, no, basically.
Just said it. They're recruiting.
Right, but you didn't bring up Weber's character. He's the one that brought them all together, right?
Okay,
He's the one doing the recruiting.
Yeah, it's really
he's
him.
He's the one that runs the music school. He has sent Lizzie to do the recruiting.
Right. Well, I thought they were all going as a whole group to do the recruiting, weren't they?
Stephen Weber wasn't there.
Yeah, he was.
Not in China.
Yeah, that whole beginning scene was all China. That was Beijing.
Really?
Yeah. they were auditioning, weren't they?
That was totally lost on me. I thought they were in a location where the school was.
No. They had, that's okay. Why she was, that's why she was dressed in the Chinese dress.
Here too.
Well, no, over here they would call it a cultural appropriation. So over there, she was doing customary things.
All right, whatever.
So after that, Eric, after they did their night thing and they did the competition, they decide to do a country trip to like the Great Wall and all these other places. The two girls.
Is that what they were doing? See, I totally misunderstood the purpose of their trip then. I thought they were going to try and find people to recruit.
No. This was just a vacation. Basically, the recruiting was all over, and then they decided Lizzie decided she was going to stay for another 2 weeks to do touring.
Okay.
And since she hooked up with Charlotte, she says, "Why don't you just join me?"
Okay. All right.
No worries. It's all good.
So they're at the thing watching the children audition or play perform for Steven Weber, and you get a conversation. The friendship strikes up between the former favorite pupil and the current favorite pupil. I apologize. I blanked out. Have you established why she was the former favorite pupil?
Her mother got sick, and she had to return home to take care of her for about 6 or 7 months. And then during that time frame, they had to move on, and they chose a new pupil.
Right. So if you hadn't already said it, you've done it. Okay. And so they strike up a friendship. We do catch a glimpse at some point. I don't remember where it was of each of them sharing common tattoo on their back. But anyway, so they go out and they sleep together. And
hot lesbo sex.
So I'm on my mind, I'm already seeing this is shooting right up Phil's list. And then they decide they're going to go out the next day. Who's the new favorite student? What's her name?
Lizzie.
So Lizzie is feeling a little hungover. Because as these people are wont to do, their whole life is about the music. And so she hasn't done much partying, if any. And so, you know, the former, what's her name?
Charlotte.
And so Charlotte gives her some hair of the dog or some pills to help make that go away. She says, we're going to go just travel and around the town, the area, you know, just go by bus and blah, 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 blah. You want to join. So they go off for our little excursion, day trip on a rundown, shitty old bus. And Lizzie is really not feeling well. And
really not feeling well.
And did we mention the dead body, the person who died?
What? Did he die?
Didn't he die?
At the concert?
Yes.
They took him away, so we don't know if he actually died.
I remember him being flat out and didn't seem like he was moving, so maybe I just assumed he died.
Right. Wait, and this is they mentioned that there's a plague coronavirus thing going like on the south. They said there's a plague or contagion on the south part of China that's rumored to be going on right now.
Yes.
So, by the way, we picked this movie last Thursday while things were just starting to shut down, and we hadn't gotten to this point now in the last. It's amazing how much has changed in the last week.
It is.
I had no idea the plague factored into this. Phil, you hadn't watched it yet.
Honestly,
right?
I forgot that this was the beginning of it, the plague thing.
I watched it 3 weeks ago when I was already beginning to freak out about the plague, and I had already self quarantine even 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
All right. So
I honestly had forgotten about that aspect of the movie because the ending of it stuck with me.
Yeah.
Whoops. So sorry about that.
That's all right.
So anyhow, so while they're on the bus, Lizzie is popping this ibuprofen. She has to vomit, and I think, did they first get the bus to stop? Oh, no, wait.
They first get the bus to stop because she's about to shit herself.
She's going to shit herself. And I'm thinking there, oh, boy, Phil's really going to love this one. but let's be honest. And it's like, okay, you can come off. So I can't move or I'm going to shit myself. And I think we've all been there before. right? Where like we cannot unclench those butt muscles for anything.
Especially if you have soldier's disease, which is another term, dysentery, which is another term for diarrhea
or Montezuma's revenge. So I guess she has to do the C-3PO shuffle off the bus.
I don't think she made it either, because the bus driver was washing off the steps.
Well, it could have been the vomit. I'm not sure.
Because she did have it coming out of both ends.
And we do see her squatting down, and somebody gives her, a hand cloth to wipe herself with. And Lizzie helps. Lizzie did help take care of her mom, so Lizzie's helping her deal with Charlotte. Charlotte is helping Lizzie deal with her bodily fluid issues. And then they end up going back on the bus.
Hey, Phil, hot chicks cleaning poop off each other.
Yeah. Yeah,
hello, gentlemen.
Oh, speaking of.
Hi. Yeah, I was just cleaning really awesome crap off my face, so that was really fun. So anyway, I'm sorry I'm late. I don't know where you are in the conversation, but wherever you want to bring me in, go ahead.
We're on poop!
Yes, we're at the poop.
Oh, okay.
You did watch the right movie, right?
Oh, I did. And actually, I'll give you a 2-second thing that's spoiler-free, because I don't know if you did spoiler-free yet.
We did.
Oh, you did? Okay, so we're into spoilers?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, I really love this movie. I thought it was really good. And to be honest with you, when I watched the trailer, I was not thrilled, because I thought, oh my God, this looks totally boring. I love it. And in fact, the theater meeting that I was just in, I said, is anybody looking for a good horror movie? And they all went, oh my God, yes. And I said, oh my God, you need to see this, because this deals with the performing arts and it deals with things that we kind of live with every day.
Yeah, but the first 20 minutes is about the plague and contagions.
It kind of is. And that's what was cool, because I think for at this time that we're going through right now, that was very disturbing. However, I really loved that once we got out of that, it went into a completely different place. Right. I was like, this is cool.
That's what I was saying. With the reason that I liked the movie, Chrissy, is that you think it's one thing, and then it turns into this other thing, and then, no, it's actually this thing.
Yes. Yes, really well done. I think on a deeper level, what this movie is really about is kind of what happens to the soul when we become so obsessed with the idea of perfection and maybe a drive to achieve something that is so important that it physically eats us alive. It destroys us physically. I think underneath all of this, one of the themes in this film is obsession, and how it almost spreads infectiously. You know, we see that opening scene where they're in the bus, right? Mm-hmm. And she's getting sick and everybody's freaking out. And of course, it's already been suggested to us as an audience that somebody may be sick. And I don't know if you guys already covered this, with some kind of weird disease from Hunan or whatever. But the thing that was so interesting about that is that later on, they talk about the pressure to be perfect. The fact that this is special work that we're doing this. And then later we get the big reveal that it's Charlotte who's tortured by basically she tortures Lizzie by poisoning her. Then we see it's Charlotte who's actually the one who's really obsessed. However, when Lizzie gets rejected and her fame is denied her, you know, one person becomes damaged. Lizzie becomes damaged by Charlotte. And then, you know, Lizzie goes and sees, after she's rejected, the picture in the hallway of the guy and the other girl. And they do this really interesting thing with the camera. And Lizzie has that same expression in her eyes, that revenge. So it almost suggests that dangerous obsession becomes infectious, too. Mm-hmm. So I'll shut up now, because I don't know where you guys are. So you guys just talk.
We're at the poop. They're pooping.
Oh,
I was actually eating cottage cheese at work when that scene started. So yeah, I.
Okay, first of all,
throwing up maggots too.
No, you know what's interesting? The bugs didn't bother me. It was that I didn't care about the bugs. I never care about bugs or maggots or anything like that.
I would if they were in my vomit. That would be concerning.
Yeah, but she's going zombie. She's going all zombie.
Well, but it was just interesting how they set that up.
It was.
Like, it was really well done. And I think for today's audience, right this minute, this is disturbing. Like, because we understand, I think we as a culture right now can connect to that scene on the bus more so than we could have, say, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now we can really connect to it.
So after she poops, they let her back on the bus, but she's still sick. And while she's on the bus, she pukes. She tries to open a window and puke out the window, but the window won't open. So she just pukes on the window. And Charlotte's all like, oh, my God, are those fucking bugs? And you see bugs in the vomit. And she's freaking out. And eventually the bus driver has had enough of the shit. And makes them get off the bus, and quite frankly, can't really blame the guy, because they were creating more than a scene, and puking all over his bus and shitting all over his
bus. Well, and the rumor of the contagion that's going on, you know, in South China.
I like they're mad at the bus driver. I understand why they're mad at the bus driver. At the same time, kind of get where the bus driver is coming from on this one.
That bus must stunk. Imagine me stuck in there.
No,
I would be throwing up. Dude, I would be throwing. I couldn't do it.
So they get kicked off the bus and start walking. And then Lizzie starts freaking out. It's like, oh my God, she starts seeing things moving under her skin. And apparently there are all these bugs under her skin and they start crawling out and she's flipping the fuck out. And then, Charlotte pulls out a meat cleaver and goes, you know what you have to do. And at that point I was like, wait. What?
Right. I was like, all right, there's something fishy going on here.
So Lizzie comes over and grabs the meat cleaver from Charlotte and proceeds to chop off her own hand to get rid of the bugs. And then I kind of like this device that the movie used at that point. At that point, the movie goes into rewind. So you see it going backwards really quickly back to the point where they were in the aftermath of their hot, hot lesbian sex in the morning. And Charlotte was giving her the hair of the dog or whatever it was. Turns out, were they her mom's leftover meds?
Yes.
Yeah, she gave her mom's leftover meds, which create hallucinations. And the side effects are increased with alcohol, which they had had a lot of. So she basically spiked her with a hallucinogen and then subliminally implanted the suggestion of bugs a couple of times and made her freak out and then provided a knife for which to chop off her own hand. That moment where she pulled the knife, like she pulls this meat cleaver out of nowhere. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Where did that come from? And in the rewind, we see that when they were eating lunch, they were at this place where the chef was making the food there. And she was behind the chef and there's the cleaver hanging on the peg wall right behind him. And she kind of snuck it. So that's where the cleaver came from. But I was so shocked when she just like pulled this meat cleaver out of nowhere and gave it to Lizzie to chop her hand off. That was a moment.
Oh, I was just saying, I thought that was really interesting, too, because in the beginning of the film, we see her screaming on the inside, right? Mm-hmm. We get those flashes of Charlotte screaming on the inside. And later, which is after the scene you talk about, Eric, we see Lizzie screaming on the inside.
Mm.
And it's funny that you mentioned the knife, because the knife was actually a three beat. However, I didn't realize that she took it, and it was so obvious. I was like, oh, now that you mentioned, I'm like, oh my God, of course. The Chinese guy was doing all that chopping. Do mm-hmm. you know what I mean? I didn't even notice that she had taken it. And that would have been a clue. So the surprise is actually justified. The clues are all there.
Mm-hmm. You know? Now, let me ask you this, folks, especially you, Eric. Did you think one of two things when this all happened was she was winging the whole thing, or the plot was done for convenience? Because obviously she couldn't have planned the guy having the sickness at the dinner party the night before, right? The guy
Right. But I believe she planned to her plan was the hallucinogenic drugs. I believe that's as far as she got with the plan.
And then just added that in, and then found out, oh, there's a plague down south.
When they were at lunch, that's when she really put it together in her head as to how she was going to proceed with the talk about bugs. Because even when they're getting on the bus, you see her, she kind of brushes Lizzie's shoulder.
Oh, that's right.
Lizzie's like, what? Yeah. She's like, oh, nothing. It was just a bug.
Right. I remember that. Yeah. What about you, Chrissy and Mike? Did you guys think she just made it up as she was going after the fact? And
I wasn't sure exactly how she was doing it. I knew she was the one responsible for what was going on. And if I had any doubt, the magic cleaver just bing. Look, I've got a rusty cleaver for you to use. That didn't surprise me at all.
You know what? I think I would have liked it better if they showed her like drug the guy's drink or something. So look, there's the plague or something, you know. But anyway, go on, Chrissy.
Oh, I was gonna say I actually did not get any sense that she was doing anything at all. But it might have been because I connected with this on a little bit of a different level. When I saw the opening of this film and the dead mother in the bed, and of course our main character that we don't see grown up, you know, we kind of see her grown up, but then we see her in the past also, as younger, dealing with it, I connected with it on a different level. So the way that I kind of connected with it was, oh my Lord, this girl is nuts. So when she, because of all of her repression and giving up things and stuff like that. So when she meets Lizzie, my initial reaction was actually like split, because I was like, oh, she's actually found the love of her life. This is fortune. This is real. And it's going to get dark, but I don't know how. Then when Lizzie got sick, I kind of went the way of, oh, and we are all attracted to the things that we know, even intuitively. So she intuitively chose someone who is going to get sick. So even though there was the foreshadowing, the first shot in the movie is the pills. That's the big shot, you know, that should tell you that. I personally did not pick up on that because I was focused on other things that spoke to me personally that may not speak to other viewers. So I had a very interesting experience with this movie because the twists and turns were total shocks to me, which is why I think I love this movie, because they literally fooled me. You know, normally I kind of figure it out. I didn't figure out shit with this. But like I said, it could have just been that I was emotionally connected with Kirt in the beginning, and I believed her, and she was the unreliable narrator. But because I had been in a situation in my life personally, I connected with it. which also bears credence to what we all say. You as a viewer bring your own experience to the films. So whatever you bring is what you're going to get out of it. So anyway, I don't know. But the fact that you guys, so you guys actually figured it out in the first couple minutes. I'm just really curious.
I don't think anybody did.
Well, and I was shocked later with the whole other thing. I was like, whoa. I mean, I knew something was going on with the tattoo, but I couldn't figure out what. So.
Oh, I wasn't surprised. You mean how they got the tattoo? How they earned it?
Yeah, yeah. I really was like, something is going on with that. Like the first time we saw it, but I had no idea what it was. But you're a teacher, Mike, so maybe you're, you know, kind of are aware of different things that go on. And
not in my school. Well, actually, that's twice, but they were both fired. So yeah, I mean, clearly they were the teacher. It's like it was a reward, right? It made him the teacher's pet. Was like the little tattoo. You know, he put his mark on them.
Right. But you kind of figured what was going on early?
Yeah, see, that's what I want to know. Did you figure that out, Mike, or did you just, like, kind of go with it?
In what regard?
Did you know he was sexually abusing them?
I wasn't surprised. I mean, it's Steven Weber.
Okay, well, no, I wasn't surprised either, but in those initial stages of the film, I wasn't sure what that meant.
Well,
because I also wasn't sure where this movie was going.
You haven't,
you know what I mean?
You have a movie made in 2019 with an old man and young girls. Yeah, I almost would have been shocked if they didn't go there. He was kind of lechy. Because, you know, it's Steven Weber. He plays lech as well. Yeah, so I wasn't shocked. I didn't necessarily know if it was going to be sexual, but like if you've seen, what was the movie about the drummer a couple of years ago?
Oh yeah, I forget the name. Yeah, I never seen it, but the one he got the Academy Award for, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just the idea that there's in a horror movie that there's an abusive music teacher. I mean, I do live with one, right? So, I didn't know if it was going to be sexual or some other, whether it were psychological or physical, but I figure it's someone that he was going to be abusive towards his kids.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, we've seen a lot of films.
Yeah,
thank you.
Drive me crazy,
yeah, that's it. That's the name of it. Yeah. We saw
also by A24. Oh, no, well, sorry, not A24. Blumhouse, right? That was a Blumhouse film.
Yeah, that was a Blumhouse. That wasn't A24. Yeah, I forget the name of the actor that got the Academy Award for that. I can't remember his name.
J.K.
Anyway,
Simmons.
Yeah, that's it. Simmons. J.K. Simmons. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, a lot of films as well as in real life. Documentaries for that matter, because you're not going to have a documentary about anything nice, I guess. But usually you have these powerhouse people in power that, yeah, you abuse those below them. And in this case, little girls. I mean, it still doesn't make any sense because I assume he would be abusing them whether or not they were successful, but.
Oh, it gives him power over them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big issue, right? Is that they can still, he can make or break their lives. And this is a thing that they dream about. So he can't just go grab a girl off the street and diddle them because he has no power over them. Here, these girls can lose everything they've worked for their whole lives. They can destroy their dreams, their futures by blowing the whistle on this guy. Or at the very least, they have reason to be afraid that mm-hmm. is what would happen. So, yeah, it totally makes sense to me that's why he would go after them.
Right, right. And this was the part of the film that, yeah, like I didn't want to spoil that. Made me, like, at first have to think the film over whether or not I liked it or not. Because it was very, very disturbing, I felt.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and I did sort of like that the way that they suggested it for the viewers who didn't get it, you know, they showed him walking naked toward her, but mm-hmm. that was it. Like, they didn't really go into any kind of flashbacks about, because they did give you flashbacks about her, you know, her mental illness, mm-hmm. where they shaved her head and all that. But I was kind of glad that they didn't go that route, and they just showed that one thing of him walking naked toward her, which was extremely powerful and said it all. Mm-hmm. You didn't need to go any further, and I thought that was really well done.
We didn't need to see the full Weber.
No, we really
right.
didn't.
Well, also...
we got the blurry Weber.
Even though they probably blurred it more for rating purposes than any other reason, I think it worked that it was blurry because it made it because it's the perspective of the girl. So she's having tunnel vision, you know, like when you're massively depressed and you're doomed, you go into tunnel vision and so losing focus and all that. So I think it was actually a pretty good shot, even if it was taking away.
I don't think it was for ratings. I'll get into why later, but we kind of got sidetracked from the plot here. Do we still want to go through the whole plot, or are we just picking and choosing at this point?
Right. Oh,
yeah,
so,
yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so I think we can get back to it just to frame it, because yeah, we might be losing some listeners who haven't seen it yet, because some people like to listen to us spoil things for weird ass reasons. I understand that even less than Phil's refusal to watch trailers and then go online and spoil everything for himself anyway.
Well, that's only with TV shows. Only TV shows, Mike. Only TV
so,
shows.
After well, hey, chopped but, her hey, hand off.
Before Eric says this, I'm just going to say I was one of those listeners before I joined you guys that really enjoyed, and I think I did say this in a letter once before I even joined this podcast, really enjoyed hearing you guys spoilers, because my parents wouldn't let me watch horror movies. I was freaking terrified. And I always felt better after listening to you guys talk and say, it's okay. Literally, you guys were the people who basically gave me permission to watch The Omen. Because you told me exactly where the scary scene was, and I went, oh, Eric is laughing about that. It can't be that bad.
I'm a sick motherfucker, yeah. though.
Mm-hmm. He's also laughing about the girl pooping herself, so...
That's right, but yes, still... Yes. But still, it gave me the courage to actually, you guys talking about things, I felt better. Because I was like, okay, I know where the scary things are coming. So I went and I would listen to all you guys' spoilers. And I'd be like, okay, I'm good. I know where the scary things are. And you guys actually allowed me to experience a lot of films I honestly didn't have the balls to freaking watch. So it's okay. So there's probably listeners out there who are doing the same thing. So, Eric, that in mind, you go on with the plot.
So they did the rewind thing to show you how they ended up at that place where Lizzie chops off her own hand. And then they kind of cut to Lizzie showing up at the music school again. And Steven Weber is really upset that she's missing a hand. And she tells them everything that happened with Charlotte, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. And then the next morning they're like, yeah, you need to leave. She's like, wait, what? And she's like, they're like, yeah, you got no hand. You can't play anymore. You can't be here. This is a music school. It's for kids that play. It's kind of harsh. So they basically throw her out on her ass.
I mean, she does do a good job pleading, explaining that she can teach, she can conduct, she can compose.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm guessing she has that ability. Not everyone who plays can write.
That's true.
And for that matter, I guess not everyone who can write can necessarily play very well. Certainly not necessarily at that level.
Well, also, Mike, she was famous enough in that circle that you could use her for marketing purposes, going to, you know what I'm saying? So going to companies for donations.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think he was already famous enough. He was like the latest. She was famous because she was the latest product of that school.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, he's got him on a conveyor belt at this point, so...
But I bet that he could, they could have used her somehow. You would, if he wasn't a dink, you think he would have used her somehow. Don't you think?
Well, maybe? That's not what he's about, though. What he's about is getting young, talented girls to his school so he can mold them into, hopefully, the perfection and obtain power over them and control them to the point where they owe him everything. And now that Lizzie has reached a point where she's not going to be able to play anymore and not going to be able to be a famous soloist, who is one of his prodigies, he has no use for her anymore because he doesn't care about marketing. He cares about people being out there representing him. That's my take, at least.
Well, I guess I see what you're saying, because technically she could still be representing him.
Now, he doesn't want to be represented by a one-armed nobody who can't play. He wants to be represented by prodigies.
And let's be honest, what is she going to be a symbol of? Hey!
Hey, if you come to the school, you'll go crazy and chop off your own hand.
Well, not only that, but what is she claiming? She's claiming, he's claiming, okay, not even if she's not the one who went crazy and chopped off her own hand, if you believe her story... The one before her went crazy and made her chop off her own hand.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. And then
are the skills. So the last two highly renowned prodigies that we had, we fucked them up so badly.
Right. Yeah. All right. That's fair because, yeah, I mean, they probably did blood tests, found out that she had drugs in her system. She chopped her own hand off.
Well,
she's
blaming
someone
else.
Well, the point is that
she was drugged. Right. So.
Right. But they, you know, they could have said, "Oh, she's a druggie." You know, who knows? But the point is that her public relations, she's a public relations disaster in a sense as well. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah. Because all it's going to do is remind people that you had two terrible, terrible tragedies come out of the school, and their last two prospects, right? Their last two draft picks went completely off the rails.
Right. And there is a lot of suggestion, too, about the new girl. You know, Jing is her name?
Yeah.
The new girl, the young girl. And we don't see much of her, but you kind of get the sense that she's the next victim. And yet you almost wonder, because there's a moment where Steven Weber leads Jing into that little cathedral room, right, where they all perform, and he gives her this whole thing about, oh, you're special if you get to perform in here, whatever. Sing me an A sharp. And Jing does. What? She's a girl of like 9 or 12 or whatever. She does. And he says, it's the most perfect thing in this room, whatever. And they cut briefly to the look on Jing's face, and she's just like, really? Like, I'm okay. Like, there's a moment there where she's like, whatever, dude, that's okay. You led me to believe it's going to be awesome, and it's not. And that's another thing that I think was really well done. I don't know if it was the direction in this or the actresses, perceptions and how they worked through it. But there is a lot done with eye expression in this. Not facial expression. Expression in the eyes. And if you look, like there's a moment between Lizzie and Charlotte when they first meet in Shanghai. And you see that turn of affection in the eyes. Not in the rest of the face. Not in the facial muscles. It's really interesting. So they echoed this with Jing. Because he goes, isn't this magnificent? You're going to get to play in here. And they literally give Jing like a 2-second cut or something. And you can see in her eyes, she's like, okay, yeah, I don't. Awesome. Yeah, kind of not impressed, whatever. Like, you led me to believe this was like God, and it's not. And here's what's also interesting on that stage where they stand and where they tie up Charlotte later. It's the sun. It's the shape of the sun, and yet it changes its pattern. Like, it's squares one time, then it's like starburst another time. It's kind of interesting. And so it just depends on who's sitting in front of it. So there's definitely symbolism there. But I just thought that was interesting. This is definitely what I would consider a highly literary horror film without being douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
Pretentious douchebaggery. We haven't used that meme in a while. It's definitely not callback. Pretentious. It is, but it's not pretentious douchebaggery. It's just interesting. If you want to look for shit, you'll find it. But you don't have
it's
to.
Interesting douchebaggery.
It is. Well, but if you just want to have a good time, I think this movie delivers on that too.
Yeah.
Like if you just want to and skip all that shit, like you don't have to. So anyway, sorry. I probably derailed this again.
All right. So
they put Lizzie out on her ass. What did you think we were on the rails in the first place?
Well, you know, here's the thing. We've got, just to digress for 2 seconds, and I'm going to let Eric get back to it. We have a big community theater area here. We've got about 7 or 8 community theaters all within 30 miles of my house. And all the shows have been canceled. These are small theaters that are all run on volunteers. We all pour our own money into them. And we had a big meeting tonight, so that's why I was late. Because I'm on the board of, like, all these 6 or 7 theaters. And we had to figure it out. And, of course, we're all so stressed out. We're all drinking. So, you know, so that's why I was late. Sorry, Eric. Go ahead.
All right. So they kick Lizzie out on her ass. And Lizzie's not very pleased about that. So we cut to Minneapolis, where Charlotte is at home alone. And hears a noise and goes to investigate. And promptly gets tased by Lizzie, who kicks the crap out of her because she's mad about, losing her hand.
Sell your soul to Satan and kill them all, Lizzie. Kill them all.
So we then cut back to the music school and see Stephen Weber pulling up to the gate, finding Lizzie there, trying to get her way back into the school, and says she's got the bitch. And she says she has Charlotte in her trunk, and they bring Charlotte into the school. Where she wakes up to be confronted with Stephen Weber. And they basically have this conversation, like Stephen Weber's like, why did you do that to her? And she's like, I was trying to save her. I was trying to get her away from you so you wouldn't do the same thing to her that you did to me, but you already had because I saw her tattoo. She's like, I was here, and you brainwashed me, and it took me years of therapy, and they locked me up, and I had shock treatment, and eventually I was able to unbrainwash myself, but you got Lizzie, and I wanted to save her, and that's why I did it, so that you wouldn't do to her what you did to me. And this is when we get the flashback of her as a young girl playing in the cathedral, and Stephen Weber sitting there listening to her, and she makes a mistake, and you're not allowed to make a mistake when you're in a cathedral.
About perfection escapes you, Eric?
So
it's not about the almost perfect. It's the perfection.
So. I guess the punishment for making a mistake in the cathedral is sexual abuse. Wow. All right.
Let's think about our classical conditioning here. Is this really the connection you want to make with women? Is all right. All right, you got to be punished. You have to have sex with me. Is that really? Is that really thinking it through? Shouldn't that be like, you know, the reward?
So now we know why Charlotte's been so traumatized and why she's been doing what she's been doing. But apparently, Lizzie still wants to be part of the school, and basically, they take Charlotte down as an adult. Back to the cathedral, and she has not been playing the cello for like the last, I don't know, however many years, taking care of her mom while she was sick. So she's not up to speed. And Steven Weber basically chains her to a chair in the cathedral and says, you're going to play this solo cello sonata to the perfection, or the young girl's name. I can't remember her name. What's her name, Chrissy?
Jing.
Jing?
Okay. Zhang Li, actually. Zhang.
Okay.
I guess it's pronounced Zhang. Z-H-E-N-G. Okay. Zhang. Yeah.
So Zhang, Stephen Weber basically tells her if she makes a single mistake playing this piece, he's going to punish Zhang. And that upsets her greatly. And she plays this very complicated piece very well, but makes one mistake towards the end. And at that point, they take the girl out of the room, and Steven Weber goes, oh, did you really think I was going to punish her for your mistake? And then they make it clear they plan to take it out on Charlotte. And Lizzie steps up and goes, I want first crack because she did this to me. And so, Phil, here's where my argument comes in, that the blurring was not for the rating, because Lizzie takes the bandage off the end of her arm, where there's no hand anymore, and it's a stump, and makes the two
sexy stump
makes the two other men spread Charlotte's legs forcibly, and says, and I quote, "I hope your cunt can handle this." So I don't think they were really concerned about ratings. Because they pretty much they dropped a C-bomb and implied she was going to stump fuck her. So, I don't think they were concerned about the rating there.
But the key word there was implied.
Well,
they implied she was going to get stump fucked. They didn't go all the way with the stump fucking. You know, they clearly were restrained.
Oh, yeah, it's very restrained.
A true grindhouse film.
But then, as it turns out,
on full stump.
As it turns out, Lizzie was just playing a role because she had drugged those other guys' drinks. And before things go too far, they both drop dead. And she's able to free Charlotte. So, did any of you have any idea that Lizzie was actually working with Charlotte up until this point?
Well... I have to admit, at that point, I had paused the film a few minutes earlier, and I read the rest on Wikipedia. So, yeah, I spoiled it. Because I'm stupid.
Okay.
Why?
As long as you said it about yourself.
Were you looking up spank material on stump fucking? Why would you do that?
Because I was already completely confused why they changed it from a zombie contagion film to this film, and I was worried that Charlotte was going to get killed.
It was never a zombie contagion film.
Let me rephrase that. I thought it was going to be, but then I was worried that Lizzie was going to get killed, and I was also bummed that Lizzie joined up with the bad guy because I wanted her to kill them all. And so I said, what's going on here? And so I stopped it, and I have to read in advance.
Couldn't you just watch the rest of the movie?
I should have. I screwed up.
Yeah, they tend to tell you these things by watching the movie.
Yeah.
And you had made it that far.
Yeah.
So Lizzie and Charlotte then go together, and first they kill what's-her-face, the wife.
Yeah, Weber's wife.
Paloma, that was her name. That's a weird name. Have you ever heard of anybody named Paloma before?
No, and Paloma is kind of an interesting name, but anyway, go ahead and I'll...
I haven't heard it, but I don't live in California, so that feels like a total
California
name. Like you're right. Apple.
Yeah. Well, this is what it is. Paloma is a female given name derived from Latin. It means dove or peace.
Yeah,
very common in Italy and Spain.
Well, and see, but that would make sense because she was really the only sort of neutral character. I mean, if you think about her, she was very calm. You know, she was the one, even when Lizzie was getting thrown out, she was like, Paloma, you can. She was very detached. She was always kind of the stable, if there's anything.
I don't think the name has stable. I wouldn't say the name really relates to that, though, because she was kind of a villain, and she, I mean, it's not, she wasn't peaceful or a dove, right? I mean, she was a willing participant in this terrible thing. She knew what was going on.
Yeah.
Right, and she didn't, like, say, huh, maybe I should go to the police. You know, her plan is, let me save this poor girl by chopping her arm off.
So, all right, so they kill Paloma, and then they confront Steven Weber. And there's a kind of awesome fight scene where...
Oh, wait, Paloma pisses herself, too. That's...
I thought it was blood.
No, it was piss.
It was both. There was definitely blood.
Oh yeah, I think I'm with Mike on this one. It was the piss.
I'm pretty sure she pissed herself.
No, she may have, but there was definitely blood because it was red.
There was a red carpet. I thought.
All right.
Yeah, it was like a
crisp. It doesn't really matter.
Anyway. Just want to get as many bodily fluids into this film.
Chrissy, what was it? Chrissy, was it piss or was it blood?
Oh, I say it was piss.
All right, I'm outvoted.
3-1. It was piss. This is the world we live in now. Facts don't matter. Yeah, only election results.
But here's the thing: it's okay. You are all men. All right, so
why? Yes, we are manly men.
You are men. There are a lot of disgusting fluids that come out of women's bodies. So I kind of went with piss because I was like, my other option is really not and would actually take the movie to a level that I think it wasn't supposed to go to.
Well, I don't think getting stabbed in the back would cause you to menstruate, and I don't think it was vaginal fluid. So...
No, but there was an earlier suggestion.
Really bad yeast infection? I mean...
No, there was an earlier suggestion there that she had miscarried. And it was very subtle, so that's why I was wondering.
Oh, I missed that. Okay.
Yeah, okay. That's the thing guys wouldn't pick up on, so whatever. But go ahead. I'm not going to go there.
Eric, going to make you go there.
Yeah.
So there's this awesome fight scene where they confront Steven Weber. It doesn't go... as well for the ladies as they would have liked. At one point, Steven Weber gets a hold of one of the knives and goes to stab Charlotte, and she gets an arm up in defense. And this was just like, this is one of those moments that I foresaw the possibility of somebody getting a knife in them. I didn't see this going because I don't think I've ever seen exactly this in a movie before, which is the knife went right in between the two bones in her forearm, and he just runs it on down in between them. I was just like, ow!
I mentioned year-end awards. Actually, this and the other thing coming up, man, that they would have found a way onto my award list somewhere.
That totally just made me squirm as the knife in between the two bones. I was just like, oh, jeez.
That's the radius and the ulna for those scoring at home.
Online learning. So eventually
teaching without pants.
So eventually they managed to get the upper hand on Steven Weber. And they take their revenge, whereby they amputate all of his limbs. He got no arms. He got no legs. He's just a torso. So they take him back down to the cathedral as a torso, and they sit him down. And then they're both missing the use of a hand at this point. So they combine their powers, with one of them fingering on the fretboard and the other one bowing the strings. And you can't actually hear the music because they're playing the soundtrack instead. But you're left to assume, at least I made the assumption, that together with each of them using a hand, they made the perfection for Steven Weber while he was sitting there without any limbs.
It would be one hell of an act for the freak show.
And I agree with Mike that the image of the two of them playing cello together like that was just awesome.
For a guy who has no hands, no arms, no legs, his mouth is sewn shut, his eyes are sewn shut.
So he can only hear.
Yeah, which is a weird. I thought they might have gone the other way, and they would. I thought they might have like destroyed his hearing, since all he cared about was the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that would have been more of an appropriate punishment. Where here they were going with the more ironic punishments, the vision of hell.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed that last image too, Mike.
Though we must admit, at least this is what I felt after the movie was over, because since I had to sleep on it to really decide whether or not I liked the film, I was thinking, well, they're going to jail, because there's no way none of this crime is not going to be discovered.
That doesn't matter.
Do they seem like they're in their right mind to you?
No, not at all.
And who's going to report them? All the dead people?
Well, people are going to come and say, we're looking for Anton. He's not. Where is he?
Well, they'll be long gone at that point. There's a gate they have to get through. Well, it's not like somebody can randomly wander up. And it'll probably take a couple days before somebody like gets the cops to forcibly open the gate for them to get in. Finding their fingerprints there won't be a surprise, because they both went to school there, so they won't know who committed the crime.
What about the cameras and Zeng?
Well, that's a good question. What about the girl? I guess they'll take her with them.
Well, she didn't witness it.
The cameras.
What cameras?
That's a mansion. There's got to be cameras everywhere.
Did they show inside cameras?
I would think so. Well, they didn't show any. But.
You're making an assumption.
Yeah. There could be cameras outside, but not cameras inside. And
again, none of it really matters, right? I mean,
the film's right. Over. And who was there to bear witness to say it was they that did it? Right?
Right.
They're gonna back each other up. You know, they're nuts, but they're not stupid. The girl wasn't there. So you just say somebody went crazy and did this, broke into the house.
I guess I already said it didn't matter, Mike.
Yeah.
But I could argue, well, there was the camera. I'm sure there's gotta be a security system.
No, you can't this is like going back to insisting the person had two cell phones. No, there's no reason to believe that.
I almost brought that up.
The movie about asparagus was stupid.
It's not a movie about asparagus, you dumbass.
Oh my God, Eric, you're fucking killing me.
So hold on. So here's the thing. If I saw correctly, and please correct me if I didn't, doesn't she have her arm amputated at the end of the film?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm guessing this is actually set sometime after the events of that night for her arm to have been amputated and repaired.
Yeah. That was kind of what I thought.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Eric.
I couldn't see that.
So I do think they got away with it.
Okay.
That's how I feel about it. But, you know, and then what's Steven Weber going to say? Well, they did this to me because I'm a pedophile. Can you please put my armless, legless stump of a body into prison as a pedophile?
I can't believe you're still going, Mike. I already said it doesn't matter. You win.
No, I'm not. It's not that. I'm just working out the ending here. I'm just working out the possibility.
All right, that's
I think you know, as I'm working through. Yeah, I mean, I think yeah, it's stretching it, but it's not 100% implausible.
I wish
they wouldn't get caught though, because that would make an awesome crime documentary. Man found with no eyes, limbs.
Anyway.
Oh man. Christy, do you have anything to say about the back leg of the movie?
Do they have them in diapers?
Not really. I thought the first three quarters of the movie was very strong. Mm-hmm. I still am honestly trying to figure out how I am emotionally connecting to the end of it, which I'm sorry about. I got to the end. I was thinking about it all on my ride home from work. Then I had this meeting and I had to put it off. So I'm like, okay, I still need a little time on this. Overall, I'm going to be a heavy recommend on this, but I'm not quite sure. I think this movie actually went deeper in a lot of ways than we think it did. But I also think it's one of those movies that can go. No, it's okay. It's one of those movies that I think they can go either way. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Like, you can either plunge into it with your whole self and look for all these symbols and all this crap, because I found a lot of stuff I didn't even really talk about. But
and if they were if they were ever to release this on disc and had extra features like interviews or a commentary or whatever, I'd be totally interested in checking that out to see whether any of that was intentional or not.
Well, and that's the thing with me, too. I am really getting, as we are getting more and more, as we as a society are moving more and more toward just downloading the stuff digitally, it's really upsetting to me that we're losing out on a lot of these commentaries. And this is one of those films that I'm definitely going to buy and own on a disc, because I still believe in buying disc. I'm sorry, digitally doesn't mean shit to me. I don't care. I want it in something I can hold. If I'm going to spend $25 or whatever the hell it is, I want it in my hand. However, I also want to buy it knowing that there's some additional information there to shed light on what these people were trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
Because for this film, I really think it's probably deeper than just a surface watch. This has a hell of a lot of shit going on in it. I'm just not sure what it all is, if that makes sense. There's a lot there to unpack.
Well, and the question is Netflix ever going to do it? Because just to kind of push back a little bit on your point about commentaries and stuff, Chrissy, they are offering them on digital copies of stuff. In fact, I think they're more often being offered digitally now than on a disc. But that being said, Netflix is streaming this exclusively right now. That's the only place you can see it. So it's up to them whether they release it on disc or not. They have for some movies. But I think if they were going to, they would have at this point. So I don't think it's going to happen, unfortunately.
Netflix is notoriously slow about releasing its own productions on disc. And then when they come out on disc, they tend to be bare bones.
Yeah, you're right.
Ritual and The Babysitter, you know, those were two films that I think all of us liked a whole lot. They've never been released on disc. Bird Box has never been released on disc. This one is about a year old now. It's not been released on disc. So I don't know if that's going to happen. Yeah.
Stranger Things is on disc, but I don't think I don't remember there being a lot of extra features on there, but I can check.
Their financial strategy is to keep the name on their streaming service so more people subscribe.
Right. I just wish they would put those extra features then on the streaming service. So, like, I know if you're getting...
have any probably for those films, right?
They could. I know they did it for episodes of House of Cards. They did special features. I think they might have done commentaries on those. It all depends on what the filmmakers want and what deal they work out with the filmmakers and whether they want to pay for that. Now, sometimes maybe you can find them streaming online, like on YouTube. You know, who is it? There was the guy who did Lights Out, right? Didn't he do that?
What did he do?
Record a commentary track and put it on YouTube?
On YouTube or something, yeah, exactly.
I mean, he couldn't put the film on YouTube, but you could sync up the film with his commentary.
Speaking of which, I have something on that later.
Lights Out or YouTube or commentary tracks?
Commentary tracks.
Okay. It all depends on what they want to do. I know Disney, at least for the Star Wars and Marvel films, if you buy the disc and you redeem the digital copy, all or almost all the special features are available to you on a streaming service. If you buy a Disney film,
yeah,
or at least if you buy a Marvel film or a Star Wars film through Disney, okay, and you buy the disc,
yeah,
and you redeem the digital copy,
it's on the digital.
All the almost all or almost all the extras are on the digital copy as well as on the disc.
Okay.
Right, yeah. So if you buy Rise of Skywalker in a week, actually, if you buy it right now, because I think it's available now on digital, if you buy that, you can probably, if there's a, I don't know if there's a commentary track or not, but whatever special features are on the disc, you could probably get through, certainly through Movies Anywhere, right, but probably through iTunes and Vudu. I don't know about Amazon. They're a little bit persnickety with that.
The whole thing's very weird because, Eric, you made a good point, which is, like, for example, I have the disc, the Blu-ray for Upgrade, and the problem with that disc is there's no commentary, and the extras are limited. But
there is if you buy it on iTunes.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. So it's like, what are they trying to do?
And
you know?
Also, Dr. Sleep, when that was released, if you buy the 4K disc, you get the theatrical version on the 4K disc, and then the director's cut is on a regular Blu-ray. Whereas if you buy it digitally, you get both versions in the 4K. Mm. So they're starting to do added content digitally, and my theory is that they want to push people to buy digitally, even if they're putting extra content on there. There's no overhead of producing the actual physical disc. Exactly. In case and shipping it somewhere, so that even with producing the extra material, they'll still be making more money on it. That's my uninformed theory.
No, what would really help them out is if there was some sort of like nationwide or global wide event that forced people to stay home,
right,
and not go out to the store.
I had a conspiracy theory run across my head that the streaming companies are behind COVID-19.
Oh, and a lot of them are smart. So we were talking before we went on the air that Shudder, if you go to Shudder and start a new account, which you could do if you just use a new email and type in the code SHUTIN, that you get a free 30 days of Shudder. I know Disney Plus released Frozen 2 on streaming like 2 months early. Because, which by the way, just so happens the virus release happened to coincide with their global rollout of Disney, of the Disney Plus, which had been like in the United States and maybe Canada. And then the rest of the world was getting it now, just in time for everyone to stay home and survive through a virus. I mean, Universal, right? Universal, because it had a couple of big movies come out in theaters. Like Invisible Man, and a lesser film, The Hunt, in terms of its pre-release hype, and their theatrical runs got shuttered, pardon the pun, by the coronavirus. So they just released those, you know, online now. You have to pay a premium to watch it because they're trying not to lose as much money as they can, but it's still doing it. These companies are responding to this and are seeing this as an opportunity. I'm sure they're providing a service for their customers, but what you can do one and do the other as well.
Right, right. I mean, it sucks because you're paying for a family price. So, you know, even if I'm the only person that's going to watch The Invisible Man or The Hunt, so, you know, I would go to the theaters and pay $10, whatever, they're still charging you like $20 for it. And it's like, yeah, but no one else in my family is going to watch it. So it sucks for the individual.
Right.
For sure.
It sucks for you and me, Phil, but let's flip that around. Let's say you were going to take your family of four to go see, you know, nobody would do that. That's already been in theaters. If you're going to take your kids to see Trolls
2, the new Trolls. Yeah,
yeah, the new Trolls film, right? Which now it isn't going to be in theaters. Well, now there's four tickets, an adult and three kids, say, that, yeah, or maybe two adults and two kids, whatever it is, that you don't get. But
yeah.
Now, in theaters, that would be, we'll say $25 on a matinee, $30,
yeah,
something like
that.
That
sounds fine. Yeah,
well,
sure.
So you do one showing. You get to watch it as many times as you want in 48 hours for just the low, low price of $19.99. And you know how little kids are. They'll watch that shit on repeat for those solid 48 hours.
They sure will.
So you can get that all done, and you just tell the kids, you ain't sleeping until you've watched every last second of this 38 times, because I paid $20 for it, and you're going to do it.
Right, right. Yeah, so kids' films, I agree. That's fine. But except for someone like you, because you would probably want to see some kid films, too. I know you like some of those.
And not the troll films, screwed. No. I mean, it really depends on what it is. Pixar, sure. Some of the Disney films, sure. Sure. But
right, right. Well, yeah, like the first troll film was as good as any Disney film I had seen for a while. So that it is good quality stuff. But I see your point. I mean, if you're a fan of Disney.
Wait, we're not talking about the... Are you talking about the one where they were hunting trolls? Because I agree, that was an awesome film.
No, I was talking about the one where...
Troll!
The one with...
Thank you, Eric.
The chick from Portland, Maine, that me and Eric follow on A Simple Plan, from the movie A Simple Plan. What's her name? Andrew Kendrick. She starred in it. And then Justin Timberlake.
She was in A Simple Plan?
Not A Simple Plan. The one with the Blake Lively and
Andrew Kendrick. Simple Fever.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that one. Yeah, so that film, that actress, Anna Kendrick and Justin Timberlake, were in the first Troll film, and that was a good one. Had some good songs, too, really good songs.
So, I'm just, like, do we want to do final thoughts and then other stuff, or other stuff then final thoughts? Because I got other stuff I want to talk about.
Well, anything else that we... want to talk about this film? Was there any scenes that anybody wanted to bring up that we missed? Anything?
No, I think we hit on all the highlights.
Yeah, I think so.
You want to talk about the poop some more?
Unnecessary. I had to read the poop.
Hey,
book.
Phil, do you think they had cut a scene where they were having sex right after she pooped herself?
Say what,
Eric? What the fuck is wrong with you? And you don't drink?
I just want to make
seriously,
no
that is a drunk dude's comment. What
okay.
is wrong All with
right.
you?
All right, fine. Eric.
Gross.
All right, Eric. Like this. Eric. I'm gonna bail you out on this one. No.
Oh
no.
My god,
right.
I think Eric has an anal obsession. Holy
no, no.
Shit.
All right. So, all right. Since we're here. First year I taught alternative education at this was at a facility where all the schools sent all their bad kids, sent them there. So we got the worst of the worst kids. And you had to sit with them like while they were having lunch, whatever. And you, no matter how hard you tried, there were small rooms. You couldn't miss the conversations. And one of them, and I can't remember who it was. I honestly can't remember if it was male or female, talking about how awesome it was to orgasm while you shit.
All right, that's it, Chrissy. Something that's funny that's not disgusting.
But that actually is a real thing. It's called bukkake or something.
No, that's not bukkake.
But Phil, you asked me to say something not disgusting, but you know what bukkake is. Okay.
Yeah, but it's not. It doesn't have to do with poop. So it's.
All right, so what do you want me to say? Go ahead.
Yes, so me and Eric recorded an episode about the TV show Ozark like a year and a half ago, and it was during the time when I was having computer problems. So it takes a little while to edit. So I just
he lost it. It's gone.
No. So I just decided to sit on it until it. You know, season 3 comes out, which is next week, so we're going to release it tomorrow, so it'll be perfect for the release. But while I'm editing it, I said the behavioral health individual, and Eric goes, no, she's a junkie. The mother of the FBI agent is a junkie, so it's not. But even better is I go, the working class rural folk individuals, and Eric goes, no, they're rednecks. No, they're rednecks. It's okay to say rednecks.
They could have been white trash.
Well, they technically were all those things, Mike. But
how about crackers?
That would have been acceptable as well. But I have to go with
the other one is tea terms. Oh God! Stop.
Don't whatever you do.
We're not talking about that. So
whatever you do, don't bring up Montezuma's Revenge either, because that'll really go badly.
That's a good point. Yes. Eric, so any other movies that you've seen that you wanted to let us know about since you...
I know we talked about this briefly on Monday, but that was a different podcast. The Hunt I saw. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. But when it comes on digital, I would recommend it. I watched a movie called Camp Coldbrook, which was interesting because it's clearly a low budget movie, and you can tell, but I found it to be quite good. So if you can deal with a low budget movie, I would recommend giving it a shot. It's called Camp Coldbrook. It really doesn't have any big names attached to it. But it's a nice little indie film.
Where do you find that one, Eric, again?
I rented it on iTunes. I'm sure it's other places, too.
Is it a thriller or a horror film or something?
It's a horror film. It's basically the basic premise of the movie is that one of those reality ghost shows goes to a campground where a bunch of children died.
Oh, interesting. And would it be worth as an episode, maybe?
I liked it. I want somebody else to jump in with an opinion before we made a decision on it.
And what's it called?
Because this could be one of those things that's just for me, right?
Yeah, that's a fair point. What's it called again?
Camp Coldbrook.
All right, I'll maybe check it out. Sounds good.
Brook is in running water. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. I watched Shazam. Because it's on HBO, and I have HBO now at the moment because we're doing Westworld. It was fun. It was fine. But I'll probably never watch it again. Jesus. I watched the 2019 remake of Black Christmas.
Wait. Before you give us your opinion on it, how did you watch it?
I rented it.
You spent money on it?
Yes.
All right. I just wanted that out there for the mental competency hearing. Go ahead.
Phil said the same thing. Well, how else am I supposed to watch it? No, but I was curious enough to watch it because there was just so much controversy over it when it came out. I wanted to see if it was really that bad, and as it turns out, yes. it's really that bad.
Which one is this again?
The 2019 version of Black Christmas.
Yeah. I actually asked Eric why he even paid money for it.
Because I wanted to know, God damn it. Now I know.
It's gonna come to Shudder, to HBO, to Netflix, to Crackle.
Maybe
to
after I'm not shut in anymore, I need entertainment, man.
Well, that's the problem. Is when you can't go out, sometimes you're forced to do things that you wouldn't usually normally do.
Black Christmas is a complete waste of time.
Sorry, start on the AFI Top 100 Films Ever Made list, and then do Black Christmas.
No! Don't even do it then. Just don't. Just believe all the horrible things you've heard said about the movie because they're all true. And I'm generally I'll be on board with a feminist themed movie if it's done well. This is not done well. It's half an hour of straight man hating, followed by half an hour of really uninteresting character development about characters that have no character, followed by a really, really dumb killing spree that has nothing to do with the original movie. The whole thing's trash. Just skip it.
That's a shame.
So that's what I've been watching.
Yeah, for me, I watched Contagion about four times, as I mentioned, again. And Eric finally convinced me to stop doing it, so I stopped.
Yeah, try Outbreak.
Made me watch it four times, and I was like, dude, I'm over this.
I did rewatch Outbreak 2 this week, but that movie I never really liked anyway, so I was like, yeah. I almost went back to Contagion.
Stand.
Oh, It Comes at Night. But either way, then I watched Adjustment Bureau on HBO. I hadn't seen that for a couple of years, and that's an awesome flick. I love it. Emily Blunt and Matt Damon star in it. It's a great science fiction film. High recommend if you have HBO. It's available to watch at any time. And then I watched Office again, and then I watched Westworld, but we discussed that on another episode, and that's pretty much it for me. Been watching a lot of documentaries mostly, not related to Contagions. So crime documentaries and Netflix and HBO and that type of stuff. What about you, Mike? Anything interesting for genre folks?
Yeah, well, I saw, I think, I don't remember if we mentioned the last podcast, like Eric, I watched, The Hunt. No, I do enjoy it. I recommend it highly. Especially if you have a good sense of humor about politics and dark humor, sort of Tom and Jerry type humor. Itchy and scratchy, actually, more so. And so I like that. I saw, using my A-list plan, so I didn't pay for it, Eric, the Brahms, The Boy 2. Which, you know, I liked the first film. I was pleasantly surprised by it. And I think I'm glad I didn't waste money on this film, but I'm not sorry I spent time on it. It's an okay movie. It's very forgettable. Skip it unless you are a big fan of creepy doll movies or a big fan of the first one. They do not retcon. Well, they do a little retconning, I guess, of the first one, you know, but it is a direct sequel to the original. Let's see. And TV wise, you know, I'm rewatched season 2 of Westworld for the Westworld podcast, Bullets, Brothels and Bots, which we record every Monday night and then bring to you a couple of days later, for those who are interested. And, I also caught up with, and I'm watching the latest season of Better Call Saul, which really, if you're looking for something to binge now, and if you haven't, and you've already binged Breaking Bad, really go binge the first 4 seasons of Better Call Saul. Just a phenomenal show. But I also caught the second season of Netflix's Lost in Space. We're really giving a lot of attention to Netflix tonight. I really liked the first season, and I like probably the second season even more. They have been renewed for one final season because it's an expensive show to make, and the Robinson family isn't getting any younger, and you know, so they probably can't do more than another season realistically before Will has to start shaving. But if you like science fiction, I strongly recommend it.
Very good. Yeah, I rewatched Black Summer and Ozark on Netflix, speaking of Netflix stuff. So I watched 2 seasons of Ozark and 1 season of Black Summer in the past week and a half to 2 weeks, too. So good stuff. Good stuff. Oh, and I also watched a German.
Space film?
Yeah, it was it was a TV series, actually, called Perfume, 6 episodes. I had been wanting to watch it for a while, and I finally watched it early in the year. It's very slow and very interesting. And there's some stuff that I tried to figure out, but there's not much written about it, at least in English. So, you know, and the wiki, there's not much that it's talked about on the wiki. It just says a show, throw or whatever. I may rewatch it again when I have some time. But if you like thrillers and mysteries, it's pretty interesting. It's about a group of people from back in college. One of them is horrendously murdered. Had her certain glands removed from her body, and the people that went to the college think something is up related to their history, and then a couple other random people get murdered with the same type of thing, and so the question is it something from their history, or is it just some crazy serial killer out there? And it all related to smell, because it's based off of this old book from 1880, a horror book, where some people take glands from people and make perfumes out of it. And so it might be interesting, because of biology, where they certain glands and certain smells and certain whatever will can influence people or more apt to influence people. And so there may be some sort of conspiracy going on with that too. And so killing these certain people who have certain type of hormones like sex appeal or a smell that makes people like them.
In the pheromones.
Yeah, pheromones. Exactly. That's the word I was looking for, pheromones. So it's kind of interesting biologically as well, and it's an interesting concept. So it's an interesting series. 6 episodes, about an hour each episode. Obviously, the murder scenes, the murders aren't shown really much, but the murder scenes are pretty graphic. And there's a lot of nudity and sex from flashbacks because of the college stuff. But so it has the grindhouse stuff, but it's mostly art house. So it's a really interesting series. Maybe worth checking out. And then I also checked out this Danish one called The Rain, and it's like a post-apocalypse. So this rain comes down, and if you get touched by it, you die or become a zombie or something. It's like you become a zombie or something. And
is that a series?
Yeah, it's a series. It was.
I think seasons. I tried to watch that and bailed.
Yeah, it kind of gets slow, but my wife actually liked it a lot, so we stuck with it, and we watched the first season, and then something came up, and we missed to watch the second season, and so we haven't checked it out. But it's pretty good. I know Sean Fox of Canada, who's a listener of our podcast, he was disappointed with the show, and he dropped it too, Eric. So I guess it's a coin toss whether you like it or not, because my wife liked it, and I thought it was pretty solid, but other folks kind of bailed on it. So maybe worth checking out. The first episode's pretty solid, and then you see if you like it after that. And that's pretty much it. Okay, so Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan?
I do. although we canceled last week because both he and his wife had a cough, so I was like, you know what, better safe than sorry on this one. Why don't you come back next week? but yes, we have a general interest podcast called the Askancity Podcast. That's spelled Askancity. You can find it wherever you got this one.
Excellent. And Mike, me, you, and Eric are doing a third season of another podcast?
Yes, that is the aforementioned Bullets, Prophets, and Bots, a Westworld podcast based on the HBO TV series Westworld.
Excellent. Now, let's give our final thoughts on this film here, The Perfection. So let's start with you, Chrissy.
If you enjoyed Black Swan, you'll enjoy this. I think if you like body horror, but only for the first, it's not excessive body horror. It's pretty good, just warning, vomiting and diarrhea, but it's very brief, and I don't think it's inappropriate, so you should be okay. And if you liked the movie Memento, which is what this also reminded me of. Also, if you work in the performing arts or any kind of arts at all where you feel like you're always driven to succeed and beat the person next to you, this is definitely the movie for you. I would avoid this if you're a little squeamish. I do think right now it's extremely keyed, at least in that first 25-minute sequence. It is very much relevant to what's going on in our world today, which is also why I would recommend it just for that, because I don't know if you'll be able to relate to this later when all this is passed. So give it a shot. I highly recommend this. I mean, I really found very few problems with this, and I think it's one of those films that you can take on face value and enjoy the ride, or you can think deeply about it. So it really is pretty good. It's your choice. You're not going to miss something either way. I love this. I recommend the end.
So. All right. Eric.
I like this movie a lot. Watch it.
All right. Very good. For me, I wouldn't recommend the film for everybody because it is definitely shocking in some senses and a different film, but it is a strong horror film generally, and it is a good film generally, but I don't think it will appeal to everybody. So decide on your own if the type of film we discussed tonight is your type of film. Check it out if you are interested. It's on Netflix. Mike?
Yeah, I liked the film. I didn't love it as much as you guys did. It's probably a one-time watch for me, but it is on Netflix, so it doesn't really cost you much if you're already subscribing. It does have a little bit that kind of sort of ties into what we're going through right now. Although if you're really in the mood for a disease-related topic, you can go back and listen to episode 37 of the Dark Discussions podcast, in which you discuss infectious disease and horror. Shameless plug. But other than that, what else are you going to do? You're stuck at home. You got nothing to watch. Watch this.
All right, very good. So, once again, this is 2019, The Perfection, starring Allison Williams, as well as Logan Browning, as well as Steven Weber, directed by Richard Shepard, and available on Netflix now. So with all that stated, Eric, why don't you do this up?
All right. Thanks for tuning in. Let's talk about The Perfection. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.